writer, banjo player, Robert Schmertz.
She was born in an old Molson alley, and her ma and her pa, they called her Sally. She grew up to be the pride of the valley, a typical Monongahela gal.
Now she wandered one day by the river, and she watched the Jason steaming by.
Steaming by.
And her heart gave a leap and a quiver as she caught a handsome pilot's rolling eye.
Well, his name, so they say, was Moe Stanley.
Light as a thistle, reached up and took the boat of Stanley's hand in turn.
It was love, careless love by the river. It was love, careless love by the shore.
By the shore.
And I'm sure that the Lord will forgive her, because she never knew what love was like before.
Well, he swore
sickly. She didn't even take time out to bawl, but she hightailed right down to Sewickley, slapping out a fast Australian crawl.
Now she hopped a fast freight at Rochester, and there was Moe steaming close to shore. From a yard bull who tried to arrest her, she up and swiped a great big 44.
Then she raised up that big shooting iron, and she fired six shots right into Moe.
Into Moe.
And when she had finally ceased firing, she sure messed up that fancy sporting coat.
Judge says good morning.
Morning, Judge Worthy.
The jury foreman said not guilty, gal.
Thank you, Uncle Jay.
So let all you pilots take warning. Don't
mess around with Monongahela Sound.
Robert Schmertz recorded back in 1949, if memory serves. And Monongahela Sal, what a fun song. And I remember being introduced to that in my teens. And Robert Schmertz, just a tremendous terrific folklorist. His songs have been covered by Pete Seeger, Burl Ives, and many others. He wrote the fight song to Carnegie Mellon University, you know, the one that goes, fight for the money, fight for the glory of Carnegie, fight for the leader of the clan, which is the Scottish clan. Anyway, Robert Watson Bob Schmertz, born in 1898, he died in 1975, was a professor of architecture, also went to Peabody High School here in Pittsburgh.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
There is nothing better than being together on a Saturday morning. Coming up, more acoustic music and family fun as we broadcast live from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, WMCK.FM, McKeesport, Radio Phoenix.org, Loudspeaker.FM, Fort Collins, Colorado, and internet radio stations and streaming services, including slbradio.org/radio.
When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing and be happy again. When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Elizabeth Mitchell and Dan Zanes.
How much is that doggie in the window? The one with the waggly tail. How much is that doggie in the window? I do hope that doggie's for sale.
Well, the Sound Hound is going to give you a chance to earn a Saturday Light Brigade charge in mere moments.
If she has a dog, she won't be.
Pear Networks joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. Headquartered in Pittsburgh, Pear Networks provides website hosting and domain registration to people from around the world. More information is available at pear.com. That's PAIR.com.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Before visiting with the Sound Hound this morning, I'll note that today is National Bagel Day. It's also National Strawberry Ice Cream Day.
With flashlights that shine in the dark. My love needs a doggy to protect her.
And National Hat Day.
With one bar. I don't want a bunny or a kitty.
And National Kombucha Day. Celebrate responsibly.
I don't want a bowl of little fishies. She can't take.
Tomorrow is National Fig Newton Day. A little product placement getting into the national days. Sound Hound, are you ready? Sounds like the Sound Hound is. Let me see if I can wrestle the sound away here. Easy, I got it. Here is today's sound from the Sound Hound. 412-200-5975. Once again, 412-200-5975 or 1-888-752-7234. Do you need to hear it just one more time? Are you ready? Can you hear it? Let me make it as loud as I can for you. Here it is. 412-200-5975 or 1-888-752-7234. Good luck.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I have this feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. Jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with you. Well, I'm stuck in the middle with you, and I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face, 'cause I'm showing up all over the place. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with you. Well, you started off with nothing, and you're proud that you're a self-made man. Slap you on the back and say, please, please. Oh. Sleep on the floor, I don't think I can stand anymore. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with you. Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I had the this feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair, and I'm a-wondering how I'm gonna get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yeah, I'm stuck in the middle with you. You know I'm stuck in the middle with you. Ooh, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
Joanne Bradley at the Saturday Light Brigade with Stuck in the Middle with You. And we're finding that we don't have a correct answer yet. We have a few close answers, but nothing 100% correct. We'll play the sound again for you. We just had a guess from Tom, walking on snow or ice. Caden thought it might be the sound of clapping. It's not the sound of clapping. Annie, Caden's mom, is much closer with a guess that she had, so close that I'm not going to tell you just yet what it is. John and Carrick also had a very close guess. Roberta Jean sent us a message, but Roberta, it arrived blank, other than your name. So if you would like to send it again, please do. 412-200-5975 to text us or to tell us by phone. Bill in Homer City thought it might be a gumball machine, and Brian also guessed scraping ice off of a windshield or using a hoe in the garden to break up some soil. Here again is the sound. Oh, let me start it from the beginning. That would help, wouldn't it? 412-200-5975 once again. 412-200-5975. Do you have any idea what the sound is? The Sound Hound brought a sound just for you, and we hope you'll take a guess. There's plenty of opportunity for you to do so right now. It's a little music to think by. I could have the Sound Hound play the sound again, and if he could speak, well, he can speak, but if he could speak English, he might be saying, is that enough? Is that enough? Is that enough? You just let me know when that's enough. Well, Martha and Baldwin just got the correct answer, and so did Annie. Zach, nice to hear from you, Zach. Happy New Year. He thought it might be a vending machine. And Turkey City Arn thought it might be the sound of ice skating. I hear that. John and Carrick thought it might be cracking nuts. Not that. Lines are busy now. I'm going to go pick up the phones. along with Ricky. So nice to have you calling. Hold on if your call isn't being answered. 412-200-5975. Or 1-888-752-7234. We'd love to hear from you.
I've traveled, took me far away. You cannot run the hands of time. A spinning wheel will always point a way to circle back around to yesterday. Oh, the hills of hope, long time gone, rolling like a song. Streets, wide lines and the sound of speed, and everyone you sometimes meet ain't always kind. Love can be a game you play, a rocky road that goes one way. I have seen it turn away and it sure ain't blind.
That's Irene Kelly at the Saturday Light Brigade, and so many guesses have been coming into our Soundhound puzzle, and Dan got it correct. Dan is listening in Clarion. Here comes the sound again. And I am answering a lot of text messages and emails and such. Shaking candies from a jar, says Tommy in Virginia. It sounds a little bit like that, but that's not it. Is that enough? Just tell me when to stop. Okay, I'll stop. A meat slicer, says Pudge in Lambertine. I kind of hear that. Jenny in Hazen, Pennsylvania. Jenny, welcome. It's nice to have you here. Thank you for calling. She had a guess of a ping pong ball bouncing. Bill in Homer City got it correct. Charlie in Pittsburgh also got it. Aline in the state of Maine came up with the correct answer. John and Addie in East Deer. Addie rarely, I'm assuming Addie might have guessed. She said it sounds like cracking knuckles. It does. If you have a lot of knuckles, but it's not that. Larry in Elwood City got the correct answer. And good morning to Rich in Edinburgh. Tom and McCandless got it. So did Turkey City Arn. Martha and Baldwin got the correct answer. So did Annie out in eastern Pennsylvania. And I think we've now identified everybody that came up with it, with the exception of Marge, who, well, Marge guessed a gumball or candy machine. She just wrote to us. What was the sound? It's probably been so long since we've gone out to dinner and had a waiter say, fresh ground pepper on your salad. You tell us when. Tell us when. Is that enough? Is it time to stop? And there you go. Or maybe you've got a pepper grinder at a home. Whatever the case, that's what the Sound Hound brought this week. The sound of a pepper grinder. Here it is again, just so you can hear it with knowledge of what it is. Well done, if you came up with the correct answer. Chaplain Steve also sort of sounded like it was walking with salt underfoot as you're walking on the sidewalk, which you may be anticipating if the snow comes through. Thank you to the Sound Hound for bringing a great puzzle today. We'll give him a little liquid refreshment. Okay. That's enough. That's quite enough. And another chance to earn a Saturday Light Brigade charge coming up. Right now, it's a pleasure to celebrate part of Pittsburgh that is known throughout the globe as a home for innovation and art regarding glass. Here in a region known for figuring out how to do things with hot temperatures and raw materials, with practical goods and with art, lives the Pittsburgh Glass Center. And it's known throughout the whole world. Maybe you don't know as much about it as you'd like to. Valerie Bundy is here to help correct that, and we're going to talk a little bit. How are you, Valerie? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's wonderful to have you. To somebody who has no idea about the Pittsburgh Glass Center, could you explain what happens there and a little bit about its history and the current conditions?
Yeah, absolutely. So many people don't know that before Pittsburgh was known as the Steel City, we were actually known as America's Glass City. Pittsburgh was rich with the glass-making history. You know, we're sitting on a spot that has the Three Rivers, which is great for helping to make glass, but also to kind of deliver glass through the eastern United States. And Pittsburgh Glass Center is building upon that rich history of glassmaking in this region. We are located in the Garfield neighborhood of Pittsburgh, right on Penn Avenue. And we are an open access education facility, which means that anybody can walk in and see glassmaking happening. We have four studios where artists work and make glass. We have a flame shop, a hot shop, a cold shop, and also a kiln studio. And one of my favorite parts of Pittsburgh Glass Center is we have a gallery as well, where we showcase 3 to 4 exhibitions of contemporary glass art a year. And the building, like I said, we are open free for anybody to walk in and see that, as well as take classes or workshops or other programming.
How did you personally get interested in glassmaking and the practice is that are involved there at the center?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I'm personally not a glass artist myself yet. My background is in education and museum education specifically, and I'm the program director there. So I've had this really amazing opportunity to work with like incredible talented glass artists who come up with some really great programming, and we get to work together to do educational things. But I will say that I won't speak for those artists, but I have talked to a lot of artists about their interest in glass, and it is one of those mediums that once you start it, you sort of get hooked and really interested in it, because it is such a unique material that is really kind of magical, actually.
It really is, and I can remember I took a lot of chemistry classes in college and in high school, and a lot of folks remember bending glass in chemistry, you know, holding glass under a Bunsen burner and bending it into different shapes. And I think people always enjoy watching glass blowing and seeing how that takes place as folks do it. Now, there are a few exhibits going on and opportunities for people to stop by the Glass Center. Do you want to talk about a few of the things? And you've got some classes too, right?
Yeah, I sure do. I absolutely do. So we do, like I mentioned, we do have exhibitions throughout the year. We're currently ending our current one that is called Gathered Locally, where we feature over 60 artists like from our local Pittsburgh community, and that's up through Monday, which we are having a free community event in honor of Martin Luther King Day, where we'll also have free glass blowing and free flame working demonstrations, as well as some hands-on activities folks can participate in. We also currently have a few artists featured at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden, and that show runs through March. And then we are hosting a exhibition called Full Spectrum, which opens up in February, where we are showcasing BIPOC makers and artisans that are selected around the United States that are going to showcase in the gallery.
That sounds wonderful. What is the best way for people to connect with you? Can they just stop by, or is it better to call first or drop an email?
Yeah, it depends on what you're looking to do. I said we're open daily. You can check out our website for our hours, but you can come in. You can stop in anytime to see what's going on. You can take a tour of a self-tour of the building and check out the gallery. But if you're looking to take a class or a workshop, I would suggest either calling or checking out the website to see what we have available. We do offer a variety of classes from the very beginner, works like 2-hour workshops. We occasionally have events called Make It Nows, where you get just a really small taste of glass, where you work closely with a glass artist in about a 15-minute experience, where you can make something, all the way up to multi-week classes. We have some 4-week classes that are going to be starting next Saturday, the 22nd. We have some 8-week classes that are going to be starting further along in February. We have youth programming. We have classes specifically for kids in middle school through high school, or some after-school classes that are either 10 or 12 weeks. We have a wide variety of classes and experiences to get in touch with glass.
You've got a lot of things going on, and I'm so glad that you're able to join us, Valerie. The website for folks, if they want to take a look at going on.
You can check us out on Pittsburgh Center or PittsburghGlassCenter.org. We also have a Facebook, Instagram. We have a Twitter. We have a all of the socials. We have a TikTok. Check us out at PittsburghGlassCenter.org.
Everything. Well, that sounds great. Anything else you wanted to mention?
I will say, too, I think another thing that has maybe get folks interested is we were featured on season 2 of Netflix Blown Away, which is a glass-making challenge TV show. And you'll see our amazing director, Heather, is one of the guest judges on season 2.
Oh, that's fantastic. So look for some more worldwide attention. And I'm glad you mentioned about the history of Pittsburgh and glass, because glass manufacturing goes back a long way in our region.
It really does.
Thanks.
Yeah, it really does.
Thanks, Valerie. That's Valerie Bundy from Pittsburgh Glass Center. And you can learn more at PittsburghGlassCenter.org or follow them at PGH Glass Center, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings on a great group of radio stations and internet radio stations and streaming services, including slbradio.org/radio. In just a few moments, we have a very special guest, Dr. Nelson Harrison, and he's going to be talking about an upcoming storytelling event, which is virtual, called Pittsburgh Jazz, Home of the Innovators. And it's a rare chance during that event for you to hear directly from Dr. Harrison, and you'll hear directly from him on the radio in just a moment.
Music makes the world go round. Music makes the world go round. Soft as the rain, fierce as the ocean, hot as the sun, cool as the snow. Talking about jazz, the feeling that has the music I love to hear. Hawkins and Bird, Coltrane and Dizzy, Miles and Prez, Satchmo and Duke. Talking about jazz, the people it has, the cats that I love the most. Some folks dig country or western or music or classic. Other people dig rock and roll or soul. But my sounds are jazz, big bands or trios, bebop and swing, bossa and blues. Talking about jazz, the style that it has, the life that I love to live. Western or music or classics. Other people dig rock and roll or soul. But my sounds are jazz, big bands or trios, bebop and swing, bossa and blues. Talking about jazz, the style that it has, the life that I love to live. Jazz, it makes the world go round.
Eddie Jefferson. Pittsburgh's Eddie Jefferson, and backed along with somebody who became a Pittsburgher, Richie Cole, and lived the last years of his life in our region. And it gives me great pleasure to welcome yet another Pittsburgher, a Westinghouse Bulldog, and somebody who has lived the life of jazz, Dr. Nelson Harrison. Good morning, Dr. Harrison. How are you?
Morning, Larry. How are you?
Thank good.
That was a great introduction.
I'm honored to have you here. I've admired you for years, and I know you've got a talk coming up called Pittsburgh Jazz, Home of the Innovators. And, you know, growing up in Pittsburgh, and because of some great mentors I had, I became very steeped in Pittsburgh's jazz history. But a lot of folks, not for any reason other than maybe distance in terms of age, don't know it as well as they could. And I'm glad you're doing this upcoming presentation, and I'd love to hear some of your thoughts about Pittsburgh's role in jazz worldwide.
Well, I've had the benefit of, first of all, being of my generation, which means I was able to meet a lot of, and play with a lot of the innovators personally. Also, I've spent my whole life in Pittsburgh, except for 2 years when I was on the road with Cal Basin. So other than that, I've been here in the Pittsburgh market. I've been mentored from the time I was 12 years old by the gentleman who's still my mentor and who will be 99 years old next month. That's Judge Warren Watson. And I met him when I was 12 and played my first 13-piece band under his tutelage and direction.
Wow.
And that turned me totally on, because in those days, we played the whole Glenn Miller book in that band, and we played a couple Count Basie charts in that band and some stock dance arrangements. And what it was, he was in law school at the time. He had led the Navy Jazz Band in San Diego in 1946. So when my older brother, by 2 years, he was in ninth grade, and he and his friends decided to start a band. They didn't have a trombone, so I could play well enough to get in there with them. So I got in the band, and then my parents knew Warren Watson, and they knew about his background in music, so they called him up and said, would you coach the kids? He said, I'd be glad to. Every Friday, he would come over to one of our homes, and he'd bring his music stands and that book of music. And he would coach us in how to articulate it, how to play it. And I mean, we could play our instruments, but in how to speak the jazz language, he taught us that. And I was so fascinated by that that I just have these visions and dreams. I also first heard jazz on the radio. Believe it or not, the first jazz DJ, a lot of people don't know this one, the first jazz DJ in Pittsburgh was Walt Harper.
Hmm.
Walt had a show, he had a show on WHOD. Out of Homestead. And I used to come home from fourth grade. I was 8 years old. And I'd come home. He came on at 3 o'clock. And I'd rush home to put my ear to our big console radio. He opened his show with Dizzy Gillespie's big band playing Manteca with Tiano Pozzo.
He would have been
and
pretty young at the time.
I was 8 years old.
Yeah, but Walt would not have been.
No, Walt was out of high school. He had just gotten out of high school.
Yeah.
He was out of high school about 2 years. Yeah.
It's
on the radio.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because my mom, when I was a teen, used to take me to the attic, Walt Harper's attic.
Well, I was with Walt when he opened the attic. You probably remember.
Yeah, and as you're listening, if you're wondering what we're talking about here, is Walt Harper, a great pianist in Pittsburgh, had a place, I think it was in Market Square, called Walt Harper's Attic.
It was in Market Square, right.
And, you know, I could tell you so many things that I feel thankful for in terms of my parents, but you got to love a mom that'll take her kid into basically a jazz bar for lunch.
That's right. Yeah. And he opened in 68, so how old are you then?
I would have been 7.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was born in 61, so that would have been about it. Who are some of the people that you had a chance to meet and play alongside? You mentioned Count Basie, but there are, I hate the name drop, but it's still, I think it's really important because it helps to show just what flowed through Pittsburgh during your lifetime.
Well, the first people that mentored me, and look, they're great musicians. I met Bobby Jones, Cecil Brooks Jr., and Bobby Boswell. I played my first nightclub when I was 13 years old, and they were playing in the lounge at Ross's Inn on Route 51 near Clareton, and we were playing the dance, and we'd listen to them on the breaks, and they'd listen to us, and they invited us to sit in, George Green and myself, to sit in with them, and we were just learning how to play the blues. I thought I went to heaven that night, you know.
Wow.
And those were our big brothers, and they really looked out for you and everything. And the second person I met when I was 15 was Harold Fetters. And I was downtown, and he was playing a matinee at the Midway Lounge, which is where the Heinz Hall stage door is. And my trombone teacher, my classical trombone teacher, Matty Shiner, told me that one of his former students was playing at the Midway. Well, I had been playing at cabarets and stuff, but not downtown. We didn't go downtown and play clubs like that. We were kids here. And but I saw Harold on the street, and he said, Harold J. Betters on his trombone case. So I walked up to him and introduced myself to him. And he invited me in the club to sit down and listen to him play. And next week, he said, bring your horn down, sit in with it. So from that time, I started following Harold Betters around. That same year, he got a job at the Crawford Grill, number 2 on Wiley Avenue. And that was my first time in the Crawford Grill because I was going up there to sit in with Harold. And all the guys in Pittsburgh who were the great musicians, we didn't know at the time what their international or national reputation was, but we would all mix together. So in terms of famous names, of course, I played, fortunately, in 1979, Kenny Clarke came to Pittsburgh, and Nathan Davis had taken a sabbatical, and he sent Kenny Clarke in to sub for him. And so we formed a group, and we played with them for 6 months. And that was wonderful. And I have lots of artifacts from that, pictures and tape recordings and stuff like that. So I got a chance to play with Art Blakey a couple times. Once he sat in with us in 1964, I was playing with John Hurd's quartet at the Crawford Grill. And the Jazz Messengers is my other iconic group. I said, if I could ever play with Basie or the Messengers, that would be like heaven.
Wow.
And I had a chance. Art Blakey invited me to join the Messengers in 1964 after he heard me play. And he sat in with us at the Grill and played a set. But I was in medical school at the time, and I turned him down.
That's fantastic. What about, was George Benson coming up?
George is a little younger, right?
Yeah.
George is 3 years younger than me. When I was a freshman at Pitt, our fraternity used to hire the Little Georgie Benson Quartet to play our frat dances, and we'd pay him $150, you know. And we knew we'd have a sellout whenever George, you know, would do that. I never actually played with George, but we were friends, and I've known him since he was in high school. So, and he's a great guy.
Now,
super, super musician.
Somebody before your time, older than you, Billy Eckstein.
I played with Billy.
You're kidding.
And,
wow.
No. Billy and I became really good friends in the last sort of 10 years or 12 years of his life, because he used to come into Pittsburgh a lot, and Jerry Betters had an after-hours club, and Billy would show up in Pittsburgh, and we'd be in the club at 3 or 4 in the morning, and I got to know him real well. I used to drive him around town, and he'd point out places and that were gone that he memorized on. But I had a chance in 1978 to play with him at Heinz Hall with Earl Fowler Hines Band.
Mm.
So wow. I got to play with Father Hines, actually. That was another one of the
Had to be amazing. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Nelson Harrison, who is a legendary trombonist, a jazz historian, just by having lived a life of jazz for 70-plus years here in the Pittsburgh area. And coming up, a virtual storytelling event will be hosted by Dr. Harrison. It's tonight at 7 o'clock, and you can find out more information at Doors Open Pittsburgh, and you can actually have a much longer and probably more organized discussion than the one we're having right now, but that's all happening this evening. Dr. Harrison, why Pittsburgh, do you think?
Well, I don't know. First of all, I know it came, well, actually, part of it had to do with the fact that we had a segregated society. There were two musicians union locals, Local 471, which I joined when I was 15 years old because our band was playing so well, we were taking jobs from the older guys. They made us join. But the Local 60 was the white union, was formed in 1906, and our union was formed in 1908. Well, that was the clubhouse, and that was home. So they'd have all-night jam sessions. They had clubs. The club was open all night. And, of course, Local 60's club was open all night, too. But, of course, we didn't interact, except the Hill District was wide open for anybody. And you have to understand, it was the discrimination did not come from the black people. It came from the white people. So we weren't allowed in their places, but they were free to come to our places all the time. And we had a lot of the musicians, some of whom grew up in the Hill District, like Chuck Spadafore, Tony Mowa, they grew up in the Hill District. But Joe Negri and his brother used to come over all the time. And we were familiar with some of the jazz, white jazz musicians, because we were like brothers, you know. But we didn't go into their venues because they were blocking us from doing it. So the Musicians Union was a place where you could gather, and anybody traveling through town, if you want to see them, that's where they would be. Also, they had after-hours clubs like the Aloysius Club, the Lewendike Club, the Workingman's Club, and they were open all night. So a lot of times in the 60s, we would play a job. Clubs close at 2 o'clock. Then we'd go to one of the after-hours clubs and play till daylight. And that's where the traveling musicians that were here in town, you got to play with them then and get to know them and, you know, get to be friends with them and all that. So those nights are priceless.
I will bet. And I think about Westinghouse High School. In fact, I found a photo of you with some fellow Bulldogs taken by Tini Harris. There were so many accomplished musicians, still are, from Pittsburgh Westinghouse.
Yeah, let me tell you about Westinghouse, because there's a rumor going around that's not true. And that is that our band director, who's a wonderful person, a great musician, classical musician, was Carl McVickers Sr. And because so many jazz greats came out of Westinghouse, the rumor is that he taught us jazz, and he didn't even play jazz. So, you know, we didn't learn music in school. We learned music in the community, and the mentors in the community are the ones who taught us how to play jazz. We also played very well classical music. And here's what McVickers deserves credit for, which nobody says, but I'll say it. Our orchestra, one of 12 high schools in Pittsburgh, our orchestra won a state championship in 1957. Okay? We beat everybody in the state playing classical music.
Mm. So,
and that's true, because they did not have anything. They didn't have watered-down music for high school students. So in the band room at Westinghouse, we were playing the same charts that Pittsburgh Symphony was playing. We were playing exactly the same notes. So when we moved into, I was in the first class of the Pittsburgh Symphony Junior. They only had it 1 year, 1956. I won the principal trombone chair. And we played a concert side by side with the symphony members under Dr. Steinberg. I was 15 years old.
Wow.
That's how well we could play. Patricia Prentice, who became the pianist with the symphony, replacing her teacher, Harry Franklin. She soloed with the Pittsburgh Symphony playing the Mozart Piano Concerto when she was 14 years old. That's how well we played classical music.
I was just going to ask you about Patricia because I love her. I haven't seen her in a couple years now, but she is a remarkable musician. Mary Lou Williams, I think, went to Westinghouse, right?
Mary Lou did. Mary Lou, I don't think Mary Lou and McVicker ever connected because Mary Lou was out of here and up in New York and married.
Oh, right, right. She left pretty early.
So she probably went to junior high school, seventh grade or something like that. But she didn't go to the high school because she was gone. And Paul Ross, Patricia and Paul Ross were the first two blacks in the Pittsburgh Symphony in 1964. But we had played the whole classical repertoire while we were still in high school. So what Mr. McVicker did was he gave us the most difficult music that was written. And that's what we played in the high school. Now, he also started a jazz band in 1946 called the Cadets. And that was right after World War II. But that was a band that, of course, he sponsored the band. But the band was run by the students because that's how well everybody could play. The musicians that came ahead of me in the Cadets were people like Ahmad Jamal, and Jerry Elliott, Pete Henderson, Danny Kahn, Art Nance, Frank Conamundo. Those were the players. Clarence Odom. They were in the Cadets before I was, and they were super musicians. So, but our jazz came from the community. It didn't come out of school or a classroom. We were accomplished musicians by the time we got to high school. In fact, when I was in eighth grade, before I even went to Westinghouse, I would go down to, McVicker would ask me to come down to Westinghouse and play with the senior orchestra because the trombone players couldn't cut the part. And wow. I could play it, and then Grover Mitchell also went to Westinghouse. He was in the class of 48 with Ahmad Jamal and Pete Henderson. And he quit high school in his senior year. So in 1954, instead of me going down to play with the Westinghouse Senior Orchestra, Grover had come back at 24 years old to finish his last year in high school, so they didn't need me. And I never met Grover until 1980, when he decided to rejoin the Basie band. And we were in Los Angeles, and Grover shows up at the airport. I said, man, I've been chasing you for 25 years. I finally met you.
Oh, wow.
And I got a chance to sit beside Grover. He played lead trombone. I played second. We did a six-week tour of Japan. And so I got to know Grover at that stage. But when he was in Pittsburgh, I never really got to know him.
So how are your lips? Are you still playing much?
I haven't played since March 13th of 2020 because of the pandemic. Prior to that, I was playing three nights a week.
Well, I hope you're still keeping your chops.
I don't practice.
No.
I don't practice. But no, I haven't touched my instrument since then.
Do you think, I hope you'd be coming out?
If the pandemic's over, then it's a different world. As long as there's a pandemic, you're not seeing me out there. I'm not mixing with people. I'm not playing a game. I'm not trying to get sick. I'm 81 years old, and I'm not interested in getting sick.
That's good advice. Now, when is the event? I want to be sure I have the date right.
The date is on Monday.
Okay. I'm glad you
said tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Monday, Martin Luther King Day.
Right. I'm looking at my notes, and I think because it's at 7 o'clock, I put the 7 in the date or took it out of the date. So it's January 17th. The 17th at 7 o'clock. We have that right on our website. It's just my mouth that got it wrong. And folks can go to the Open Doors Pittsburgh website, and they'll get a chance to see you. I imagine you'll have some pictures and other things for people to take a look at. And it's so important to tell the story and to have.
And one other thing, we just lost. We had a band. Our teenage band was called the Beethoven Bebops. John Hurd was our bassist. That was his first job.
Oh, yes.
With a jazz band. And he just passed away in December.
I saw
83.
I saw a lot of probably our mutual friends eulogizing him and remembering him. I never saw him play that I can recall, but he sounds like a great guy. Well, I really want to thank you. I hope someday we can have you down here to talk in person, if not play, just have you talk in person in our studios here on the north side. It would be great to do that.
Yeah, if it's too early, that's hard for me.
We'll make it later.
My life. Yeah, we'll, okay, if you can make it later, because I don't like to get up before noon.
We'll figure it out.
This way is fine. But no, if things open up where it's safe to be out and play again, you know, I have a job right down the street from me that I could do. But I'm not going out and mixing with crowds. I'm not in a hurry to do that.
No.
What I'm doing, but I should say this, what I am doing, which the pandemic actually has given me the benefit of having the time to do, is I'm curating my archive.
Mm.
And I have an archive that would take me 50 years to curate. So I'm plenty busy.
I'm glad you're doing that, because it's going to be really important.
That's what you'll see Monday night. I put together a slideshow about Crawford Grill Number 2 from my archive, where I have photographs and sounds and things that, you know, long since gone, that nobody else has but me, and I'll be giving that to the public. So
fantastic.
Tune in if you can.
Well, that's January 17th, well past your wake-up time at 7 p.m. On Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And Dr. Harrison, I really want to thank you. It's an honor to have you here. I have admired you for a long time. Thanks for joining us.
Very nice to meet you, and thanks for having me on. And hello to everybody, and Happy New Year. And keep jazz alive. You know, it's one thing that can maybe rescue our society from some of the hate and anger that's going around. Because you can't be hateful and angry when you're listening to some great jazz. So.
You bet. Thank you, Dr. Harrison. Thanks so much. We'll play something by Billy Eckstein coming up in a little bit. And again, Open Doors Pittsburgh, the event, King Day, Monday. And you can be a part of it. Go to the Open Doors Pittsburgh website, and they'll tell you everything you need to know. And we've got a lot of birthdays. We're going to get right to it. Julia, happy birthday to you. From your family today, Carson of Youngstown celebrates today. Mom, Dad, Casey, and Madeline. Noah from Mom and Dad, Kimberly and Bruce. Happy birthday to Conrad of Pittsburgh from Mom, Dad, and Laura. Lynn of Gibsonia from David. Julian of Fox Chapel from Mom and Dad. Phyllis from Brenda and Garcia. Sam of Point Breeze from Sheila and Gabriel. James from Rita. And Richard of Jefferson Borough from Judy and Peter. Tomorrow we have Caitlin of Dormont, and we have Emmy Ciroli in Chicago. Happy fourth birthday from Nanny and Chuck. Happy birthday to you, Emmy. January 16th, Gabriella, daughter of Bill and Ginger, celebrates on the 17th. Bob in Murraysville from Maryland. Mrs. Furkett of Pleasant Hills. Tom from Dee and daughter Marley. Erica of Texas, Katie of Glenfield, and also on the 17th, we have Diane of Dormont. From Tom and Alma and Scott and Karen and Adam and Aaron and Allison and the whole Reckless crew. On Tuesday, we have Laurie from Monroeville, Level Green, Morgantown, Chapel Hill, Cardiff, California, and now Olympia, Washington. She's been with us for a long, long time. Happy birthday to you, Lori, from Manda and Lena. Also on the 18th, we have Sarah of Lawrenceville from Brother Paul and Dan and Helen. Maureen of North Braddock. Renee of Fox Chapel from Jess, Rory, and Eric. And Jim of Ligonier from Nancy. On the 19th, we wish a very happy birthday to Julie of Lincoln Place from Mom Barb, Madison of McCandless from Mom and Dad, Jared of Aetna from Gail and Jack, and Gretchen from Mark and Garrett, Finney and Han. On the 20th, Cassidy of Regent Square, Arye of Point Breeze from Jennifer, Shan from Mom Shannon, Dad Bernard, Grandpa Bob, and Grandma Betty, and Dominicchio and Maria. We have Caitlin of North Versailles from Ariel on the 20th. Another reckless birthday, Scott. Happy birthday to you from your family on the 20th. And on the 21st, Fred from wife Beth, and James of the Hill District from your mom. And I believe we've mentioned all of our birthdays. We had one for next weekend that was brought to our attention today. And if you would like to get birthday information to us, you can email us anytime, or you can go to slbradio.org/birthdays and list as many birthdays as you would like to. We'll celebrate them the Saturday of or before their occurrence, include their postal address, and we will make sure the celebrant receives an official Saturday Light Brigade birthday card hand-delivered by a person in uniform right to the person's home. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, WMCK.FM McKeesport, RadioPhoenix.org, Loudspeaker.FM Fort Collins, Colorado, and internet radio stations and streaming services like TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, and slbradio.org/radio.
Music jumps, I get a lift. Bob, it, libo, blue, bo, blue, bo, blue, bo, blue, bo, anything to make it swing. I love the muted trumpet tone. Blend it with a mellow saxophone. Bob, it, little, blue, do, 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 what a lot of kicks it brings. When that rhythm's in you, the blues don't have a chance. You'll find that groove will win you, make you never think about romance. Jump, jump your rhythm with a riff. Any kind of music, it's a lift. Bada, little, do, 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 anything to make it swing. When that rhythm's in you, the blues don't have a chance. You'll find that groove will win you, make you never think about romance. Ba-da-da-dee, da 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 da